Hey, what's up?
No, I just started this podcast like a different podcast. Hello and welcome back to our podcast, A Couple to Go. This is the third revival of this podcast. I hope this one is gonna stick. We don't have an intro now. There is gonna be a new intro. I would like to get some original composed music for our podcast, so I first of all don't have to deal with the licensing anymore, and it is also a little bit more tailored to us. But what is new with our brand new 2023 version of A Couple to Go is that now this podcast is available on YouTube also with video. For everybody who's like Michael, who actually listens to music on YouTube and not on Spotify, this is gonna be great.
That's the one time in the year where she calls me a boomer.
Michael, you are sometimes a boomer.
I'm not a boomer.
Well, you are a bit older than me.
It doesn't make me a boomer.
No. But sometimes, even I do things, you know, I start catching myself doing things where I'm like, oh, Natalia, you're such a boomer. Oh my God. Today, we're going to be talking about Michael's trip to Slovakia.
It's technically your trip as well.
For everybody who's new to this podcast. Oh God, cringe. I'm from Slovakia and Michael is from Canada. We live in an international relationship.
Yeah.
And that comes with a lot of cultural differences and a lot of new experiences. I currently live in Canada together with Michael.
Yes.
But for this Christmas, we went to see my family and it was Michael's first Christmas in Slovakia. Yep. Actually, your first Christmas in Europe, no?
Let me think about it. Yes. The other times I went during summer and summer. Every time I went to
Vienna. Yeah, so we also went to visit my sister in Vienna. So you got to see beautiful, magical winter Vienna. Yep. Now a little bit less magical because of the energy crisis. But there was still a lot of like winter Christmas decoration lights.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought it's going to be even less than that.
It was very nice. Like, honestly, the Viennese Christmas markets, like, mm-hmm. That's something that we really...
We have to talk about Vienna Christmas markets on this podcast. We have to.
Like, that's something that Natalia really wanted me to experience because we don't... Like, we have Christmas markets here, but they're not, I guess, as ingrained in the culture. Like, it's not...
Sorry to interrupt you.
Okay. Go.
To explain, in Canada... There isn't really Christmas markets. In some cities they are, but they are branded as, oh, experience the European Christmas markets. Yeah. Or in Quebec, they have the German Christmas markets. Because fun fact, the first Christmas markets are actually from Austria and from Germany. So I think actually, wasn't Vienna the first one?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so here in Canada or in also in the United States, I'm not sure. Do they have Christmas market in the United States?
I couldn't say. I have never really spent Christmas in the States, so I can't tell.
So here in Montreal, where we live, there is a Christmas parade. So like the St. Mm-hmm. Patrick's Day parade. But it's like one day and... It's kind of like it's big and flashy and cool, and I would love to experience it. I would never am in Montreal when the parade is happening, but next year maybe, fingers crossed. But there isn't like this whole Christmas time with Christmas markets, and the Christmas markets here too. There's like some like Christmas like stanky, like little like shops.
Stands,
but it's not a market. It's more like little shops with gifts, but it's not. Yeah. It's not a. I don't know how to explain this to people who've never experienced Christmas markets.
I mean, the difference is definitely quite significant. If, like, in Vienna, for example, you cannot, like, go two or three streets without, you know, getting to a Christmas market. And sometimes they're, like, a little alleyway and with maybe 20 shops. And sometimes it's, like, the one in the central park of Vienna, which is gigantic. Like there's, I don't know, like 100 artisans, maybe like 100, 200 artisans with like huge light structures. And like it just the size, like the sheer size is
just the whole city so turns into a big Christmas market.
Yeah.
Also, the big difference is that in Europe, Christmas markets are just very common, at least like in the Europe where I grew up. So Slovakia, Austria, Germany. I grew up in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Also where my family is from, like Poland, Hungary, like those countries, Christmas markets are happening everywhere. Every little town has their own Christmas market. And here it's really just like the big cities that have some kind of Christmas thing downtown, yeah. but it's not really like an actual market.
Yeah, I feel like
they're trying yeah, in the past years.
I feel like the Christmas spirit is kind of like represented in a different way. Like in Europe, I feel like there's more outdoors, like, you know, like the Christmas markets, there's like big structures. There's like, it's like communal areas that are built up yeah. for this. Whereas here, there's like definitely a lot of activities around Christmas, around the winter, around all of that. But I feel like the way people express their Christmas spirit is more through personal decorations. Like, people will decorate their houses a lot.
They're gonna put a lot of lights, crazy
installations on their balconies, on their front lawn, like a lot of things.
Yeah,
like
it's a little bit like in Grinch the Who Town, yeah. a little less extreme, but yeah, yeah, people here, yeah, exactly. The Christmas spirit is more in shown in Christmas decorations. Yeah. People have fun with that.
Yeah, and look at that. It's like a very good representation yeah. of North America versus Europe. Everything here is individualized
and very commercialized.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, obviously, Christmas is commercialized in Europe as well. But I still feel that the feeling of Christmas is very different in Europe compared to like North America. When we talk about North America, we mean the United States and Canada.
Yeah.
Like it's very, you know, very like happy, over the top, like love, boom, you know? It's very like happy, I think, is the like big main thing. Like, even the Christmas songs here are more like rock and roll and like fun. And in like the Christmas songs I grew up with in Europe are more like calming, and it's like it's a time of peace and family and love, which also here, but less.
No, it's a party.
It's less of a party. It's more like relaxation, and here it's more like party.
Yeah. Here it's get together, party, drink, have fun, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. People drink in Europe too, but on the Christmas markets.
Yes.
I was actually right. It's Vienna. Oh my God. I just opened my credit card. What the fuck? Sorry. This is my boomer moment. I just installed credit cards, like the credit card reader on my phone for the first time. And I don't know how to work with it yet.
You're traumatized by the fact that you forgot your wallet home the other day.
Yeah.
Pay for anything while you were out.
I forgot my wallet. It was super cold, freezing. I didn't have any money, so I could not take the metro or like public transport. I couldn't do anything. And the only thing I could do was call an Uber. And then Uber is super, super expensive here.
Yeah, it was also pretty close to rush hour, I think. So, it was actually right like at the end of rush hour.
Yeah, when most people go home, I looked at the prices for Uber, and they were $60 for a 20-minute ride home. $60. That's around like 40, 45 euros.
40 euros.
Yeah. That's insane. And then I was writing to Mike like, where are you working right now? Maybe I can wait at your work. And then luckily when I looked again, the prices dropped a little bit, and I still paid way too much. So I'm a bit traumatized, and now I put my credit card on my phone. So I forget my wallet, I'm not completely lost. But back to the Christmas markets. So the first Christmas markets were actually happening in Vienna.
Very nice.
Do you want to guess when?
I told you, yeah. Oh, wait, you probably told me, but I probably forgot. I mean, it's probably something like ludicrously far away in time. I'm going to say something like 800. Yeah, here 800 after Christmas. After Christmas, after Jesus. Wow. Brain fart moment.
Michael just glitched.
So I'm going to say year 800. Let's just say that.
Okay, so the actual year, you're not super far off. Okay. So the actual year is 1200, that's how you say it in English, right? 1296, so the end of the 13th century.
Okay. That's so a few hundred years away, not
too bad. During the Middle Ages, basically.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And since then, Vienna is a magical Christmas town.
Nice.
So, about the Christmas markets themselves, what did you like? What did you don't like? Tell me.
I liked Glühwein.
Glühwein, yeah, the hot wine.
The hot wine, yeah, that was good.
Also, I love this about Vienna's Christmas markets, that there's about 20 different Christmas markets in Vienna.
Yeah.
And Vienna, for anybody who doesn't know, is the capital of Austria. And it's like 1.5 1 hour away from Bratislava. Ish, yeah, depending on what
transport you're using.
Exactly. So it's super close to Slovakia, and a lot of people go there also from Slovakia.
Mm. So what's so cool about the Christmas markets in Vienna?
Yeah, that every Christmas market has their own different hot wines. They use mm-hmm. different mixes and different wines and different like spices, not just warmed up wine. Yeah.
What I really liked is the fact that a lot of them use different mugs.
Yeah, that's true.
Like when you buy the hot wine, they give it to you in a mug, and then they charge you a deposit basically, and then if you bring back the mug, they give you back the money. But if you just want to keep the mug, then you just keep the mug, and then you basically pay like €4 for the mug or something.
Well, let me get the mugs that we got.
Well, there's one right behind there. Oh, that's the pink one. We got two mugs. We got we found them so cute. We got a blue one and a pink one.
Yeah, look how cute.
So we got two of them. Very nice. Very cute. It's a little souvenir.
They are black, and then they have like folk-ish
Christmas ornaments on them.
Mm-hmm. But they are not super geeky. They are really nice, I find.
Yeah.
And these are from the Christmas market that's right in front of my sister's school, the Karlsplatz one. And that one is like very... Also, every Christmas market has kind of like a different feel to it. There are some that are more commercial, some that are...
Yeah, some are more like alleyways and some are giant.
Yeah, there are some that... Yeah, exactly. Some that are really, really big and like full of like louder music too. And you can like ice skate and stuff. And there are some that are super tiny mm-hmm. and like tiny little streets. And they are super cute. And you feel like you're in a little magical town somewhere. Yep. And then there's the Karlsplatz one that is very, like, DIY arts and crafts. That one is really cool. It's like the hipster art people Christmas market.
Yep. No, there's definitely a lot of differences between Christmas markets. They're very, like, themed. Each one of them has kind of their, like, its identity. Mm-hmm. Which is very nice, though. It's cute. Yeah. It's a very nice tradition.
It is a very nice tradition. I'm so surprised, actually, that it is not a really, like, a thing here as much.
Maybe because it gets too cold here.
But there's also so many immigrants, you know, from different European countries. Like, mm-hmm. I thought they would have brought it here, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how feasible it would be. I think maybe the fact that in Vienna and in Europe in general, there's more squares, so there's more places.
Oh, true. Christmas markets. This is such a big difference between North American cities and European cities.
Yeah, I feel like here the
old towns,
the spaces,
like you don't really have old towns since most cities here are younger than European cities. European cities are very old.
Mm-hmm.
Then the cities are built differently. It's more like built for cars. Like there is a center, but it's more like a business center and more for like work oriented.
Yeah.
And then like pleasure comes second, I feel like. And then in Europe, it's kind of like a center for everything.
Yeah.
Like you don't have squares here, for mm-hmm. example. And then in Montreal, because they don't have really squares, like Namestia, we don't have Namestia here.
Mm-hmm.
Squares. So in Montreal, what happens during summer, so people can actually go and sit outside and, you know, have a coffee or drink, is that they close streets and then they turn streets into squares.
Or like pedestrian areas and then the cafes and restaurants, exactly. Like they're going to pop a terrace, but just for the summer. And then when the winter comes, there's a day during the year where they have to remove their terrace and stuff. And It definitely creates interesting vibes. I find like, you know, when the streets just close and all the terrace open, it's like mm-hmm. a big phenomenon every year where like, oh, the terraces are opening, like everyone goes out, like when the first terraces are open, like you see them filled with people just drinking beer with a jacket on.
I need to correct myself a little bit. Like there is old towns, like a city center kind of here, but it's not like Europe. It's not like in Europe, the city center in most cities is like its own little like town.
Yeah.
With like walls around it, usually from like, you know, back in the old days when mm-hmm. that was actually the original town. And then the streets are very like, you know, like not straight. They go up and down and left
curvy,
and right.
Narrow,
and usually that area in the city, cars don't really go there. It's a pedestrian area. And here, even in the city center, you have cars everywhere. Yeah. Like you have little like square-ish areas, but even those, like you have to be careful because cars can usually go there.
Yeah.
And then you have here in Montreal, we have like, there is an old town, but it's like one street. It's like the port. It's basically along the port, one street.
Well, it's a few streets, but yeah, it's not as big as...
Oh, it's like this one main street and then like the little branches that go up. But then that already goes like in the business area.
Yeah, I'd say there's...
Like, I mean the like really, really old town.
Yeah, there's it's like there's Saint-Paul and then... But there's maybe like two or three in a certain direction and then there's a bunch of cross streets that span the whole like old port. And then it hits downtown right away and it's like,
yeah, but also stuff, like so. All of this area, there's cars going everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not like a pedestrian area.
No, for sure. Like cities in North America are for sure built around like with cars in mind. Whereas in Europe, like some of the streets are so old that back in the days there was no cars there.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that's the main difference in terms of like, I think how things are built.
I think that's what I like Vienna so much because it's so walkable. Like you can... Vienna has very low car usage for like inhabitants. Like not many people own cars, but that's also because public transport is really well designed. And here it's kind of a shit show.
It's getting better.
It's getting better. Yeah.
But
but it takes still a while.
Yeah, for the longest time it was a bit of a disaster. Like in the winter, buses are late and stuff like that. But they've been held more accountable in the past years. And so far this winter, I have not had a bus that was late. So.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, because it was a big meme like 2 years ago. Buses were so late that like it was becoming a meme. So I think they were kind of forced to take measures to make sure that like buses were on time.
So like buses were late in Montreal. That was becoming a meme, and like same as like the trains in Slovakia.
Hopefully less than 3 hours delayed.
Oh God, I would still say that Slovakia has better public transport than Canada, for sure.
Definitely cheaper.
100% cheaper. Basically the same distance that would cost me like 10 euros in Slovakia cost me like $100 here if I would take a train or...
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like trains here are, oh my God.
Yeah, you don't want to take trains here. Like there's pretty much one railway that goes across Canada and like...
They cost like 10 times more and then they look exactly the same as Slovak trains or even worse.
The passenger trains look okay. Yeah. The VRI ones, they look pretty nice.
But like... Not $100 nice.
Definitely not $100 nice.
But yeah, so I would say that the public transport is still better in Slovakia, but Slovakia does have a big issue with trains being late, and I used to hate it, and I used to complain about it a lot, but I did complain about it so much because I was comparing it to other public transport systems in Europe or in East Asia. Mm-hmm. We know Tokyo is amazing with public transport, and then I came here and then the public transport system was basically in their like baby shoes and it was just like starting and then it like was just like a few lines and like basically to sum up to people that live in Slovakia, we are still pretty lucky. I mean, yeah, the train situation could be better, but it could be also worse. All right, so much about Vienna. Now let's talk about your trip to Slovakia. And I have a few questions from my Instagram followers.
Okay, let's hear it.
The first question is, what do you think about Slovak people? Be honest.
This is an interesting question because I feel like it's a topic that I've discussed with Natalia and her family. But from my personal experience, people in Slovakia are very nice. I know from... like as a collateral experience, I guess, when I see Natalia interacting with some clerks or some, you know, sometimes they don't feel as friendly.
Like people that work in service, usually.
Yeah, like sometimes I feel like people are a bit blunt or a bit rude.
Yeah, just to clarify, like clerks, like salespeople, or also right, like in medicine, or just uradi, like everything, like bureaucratical.
Yeah, but to me in general, I feel like people I've interacted with are actually quite friendly. Mm. And you know, like all good experiences, even like we were in Pukanets for
Pukanets is where part of my family lives. It's a little town that is called Popcorn in English.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, that one needed to come out
anyways.
Hey, women burp too.
So when we were in Pukanets, I had this funny experience. I was walking towards the grocery in the morning and like people are just walking around. It's a very small village, and every time I would cross like a path with someone, they would greet me, and I noticed that there was a significant difference between how a man and how a woman would greet me. like women would all say like dobri diem, like good day.
Yeah.
And then when you cross path with a man, they would look at you kind of like grunt, like and then just give you like a head nod.
So you're basically like men who say hello to each other, yeah. like. Mm. Hello. Mm. Hello back.
That was funny.
It reminds me of a scene from The Lighthouse. You haven't seen that movie. It's a weird one, but okay. It's a scene where they basically just say what to each other the whole time. They're very drunk in that scene.
Anyway, so yeah, my personal experience with people from Slovakia, very nice, very friendly.
But people in the service industry, like, yeah.
Well, for me, like, I've never really had to interact with them except when I'm in a restaurant, and in restaurant people are actually very nice. But from like the way you sometimes people interacted with you when you're, you know, for services and stuff, like, I feel like
in Slovakia, if you're a tourist and if you're white, because Slovakia does have a racism issue, I feel like they are really nice to tourists. And usually, you know, you have like a very, you have like an American English, so maybe they are like, ooh, you know, where is he from? And they try to like act their best. And then I'm a local, so they are just like, they don't give a shit. We talked about this in the episode I did for the podcast Something Po Slovensky. It's an English podcast, but with people from Slovakia.
Mm-hmm.
And with the host, Miguel, we talked about the differences in the service industry and how services are in Slovakia,
yeah.
how they are in Japan, because I worked a lot in Japan and mm-hmm. my experience there. And Miguel grew up in the United States, so we kind of talked about that. If you're interested, listen to that episode of his podcast after this one. Okay, so that, and here, wait, so here people don't really greet each other here
in the street. Not in the big cities, but in smaller villages, yeah, like usually people say hi, or when you live in the same area as someone, you kind of like hi.
But then again, I haven't been to like super small village here. Do small villages exist in Canada?
Of course.
Yeah, but like
do.
You know, like I mean in Slovakia that there is tiny villages everywhere. Like we say in Slovakia, that Slovakia is basically a big village.
No, there is like smaller villages. We just never really have been there because they're not on the usual kind of path that we do when we drive around. But there is, like, if you go a bit north or a bit south, not very far, it's like there are smaller villages, and their people are usually friendly. Very Quebecois, though, probably very little English speakers.
Mm.
But usually people tend to
live in the
other.
French part of Canada where. People who don't live in big cities, they don't really speak English. This was my biggest discovery, that people in Slovakia actually do speak better English than people in the part of Canada where we live, which is weird because the second national language of Canada is English. It's English and French, so it's weird to me that you don't know the second national language of your own country.
Yeah.
But that is an education issue, like with the school systems and everything. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
Overall, languages here are not really promoted and not really center. I feel like in Slovakia it's very important to learn another language because we are a small country. Nobody speaks our language, so if we want to be able to work internationally, we need to learn other languages.
Yeah.
And also in Europe, like people, especially in the European Union, it's significantly easier to work in different countries, and people take advantage of that. Obviously, like people work all across Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here there's really no need.
It's just overall, like, it's a lot of small countries. People travel a lot more, too.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why people also want to learn more. Like,
people we also don't have that many languages in terms of, like...
Yeah, like, people are more motivated also in Europe to learn more languages, because...
Yeah. Like, and the thing is, in North America, if you know English, you can go anywhere in North America and pretty much be okay. So that's probably why people don't really have an incentive. Like, I'd say people in the United States close to the southern border with Mexico, they probably like people have a bigger tendency of knowing Spanish or learning Spanish because there's actually a very decent amount of like Spanish population in the southern states of the United States. So Spanish is probably more prevalent there. But Here, for example, we have a choice when we're in high school. We can choose to have extra classes in English or Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, most people take English because Spanish is very little.
But this is so weird to me. This is so weird to me that you in school, that your main language that you learn is French. Like, that's your mother language.
Yeah.
And then you learn, you have to choose between English and Spanish. For us, you learn English automatically. Yeah. And then you choose a second language.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It
like,
is.
I never had to choose between English or a different language. English in Slovakia is taught in kindergarten.
Yeah, I mean, it there is...
And nowadays, at least.
There is mandatory English classes. Just at a certain point, you can choose between taking advanced English or, like, Spanish.
Hmm.
But you are forced to learn a basic of English.
I mean, not every... Okay, to correct and for people to understand, not everybody in Slovakia speaks English. It's mostly the younger generation that speak better English. Because Slovakia used to be part of the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. or like under the control of the Soviet Union, and people were forced to learn Russian. So a lot of people learned Russian instead of English, and now they don't really see a reason in learning another language anymore.
Yeah,
I feel like in the generation of my parents, a lot of people started learning English in the past years, also because of movies, because they want to watch English movies. And also, we here, not here, in Slovakia, most movies for adults are shown in English with Slovak subtitles.
Really?
Like, only children's movies are dubbed. Or movies that are considered like family movies, where you parents would go together with children. Only those have dubbing.
Huh.
When I was growing up. I'm curious if people from Slovakia can relate. I found it so cool when I went to see my first like movie in English with subtitles. That for me was something like, I'm becoming an adult. I'm going to see adult movies, like English movies with subtitles, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird age marker, but that works.
Here everything is also dubbed in French, so people don't have to learn English to watch movies.
Everything is dubbed and released in French, in international French, and I think they use the same dubbing in France that they use here in Quebec. So.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, everything
same is in Germany, and therefore I would say that people in Slovakia usually speak better English than people in Germany because also movies are dubbed over.
Hmm.
You can go see an English version with subtitles, but I grew up with in German dubbing. Overall, you know, things like that make people less motivated to learn other languages.
I mean, yeah. Also, we're not surrounded by like 12 countries with 12 different languages. So
yeah, true.
That's definitely a big, a big thing.
What did you think about how Slovakia looks like? Is that how you pictured Slovakia when you first came to Slovakia? How did you picture it? What did you think that you're gonna see?
I had very little expectations, to be honest with you. I kind of pictured Slovakia to be less developed, I guess, than it is. Like, I didn't expect Bratislava to just basically look like Montreal.
Like a modern city.
Like a modern city. Because Montreal and Bratislava don't look the same at all. But like,
no, the architecture is very different.
And so, that was very impressive to me. And then the nature actually looks very similar to what we have here in Canada. If you drive through the forest, if you drive through the mountain, like we have a similar geography. Like, it's mountains and forest. I guess the difference is that we have a lot of water around here. Like, we have a lot of lakes, a lot of like rivers or streams. And I think there's less of that in Slovakia. Slovakia doesn't have that many lakes compared to Canada
Not as many lakes, Canada. But we do have rivers. We do have like a lot of like small, like potok. I don't know how to say it. Like little like streams. Like most villages are built around little streams.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, like when you think about it, Pukanets, my family lives, Soblaho, where another part everywhere. Of my, like little streams of water.
Yeah, it's true.
So there is a lot of water. Actual hydro energy is like really big in Slovakia.
Yeah, same here. Same. It's I think 95% of Quebec's energy is from hydro. So
okay, it's not that big in Slovakia, but it is pretty big.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. So the nature is very similar, right?
Yeah, but like forest and mountains.
Yeah, but what you were saying is that basically here it's like there's more like wild nature when you drive. So when you go from one city to another city, there is nothing in between. There's like one or three farmhouses, but it's like, nothing.
Yeah. Once you get out of a city or a village, it's like, you can be in the forest or in the in-between for like a decent amount of time. Whereas when you're like driving in Slovakia, when you exit a village, you enter another village. It just feels like it's just a giant village that you'd never really feel like you exit the village. Whereas here, there's a very clear marker between
villages. Also, there are so many funny names in Slovak villages. Like that was one of the fun things.
What was one of them? Like squat or like slap in the face or something? I don't know. There's some weird names.
There's a village called Fatsko, and that basically is like, I don't know how to translate it, but it's like something like slap something.
It's like a, yeah. I was going to say B-slap, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, talking about like villages, we went to Čičmany. Yay. What do you think about Čičmany?
This is beautiful. I like
Čičmany. Čičmany is a small village in Slovakia that is part of the UNESCO heritage and is basically a like, very old historical village where most of the houses are still like the original houses from many years ago that are wooden, like they look like cabins.
Yeah.
And they are painted with different like symbols, and the symbols mean different things. And it was, it's a long thing to explain, but basically it's really pretty.
It is very pretty. We went there on a day where everything was closed, but at least we got to see the houses.
Yeah, because for some reason the restaurants are open only on some days.
Like Monday, Tuesday is like it makes sense. It's a touristy spot, so like Monday, Tuesday is their day off basically. So everything is closed. Everything is closed on Monday and Tuesday, which was very awkward because I think we went on Tuesday, and we were hungry, and then everything was closed, and I was just guess we're gonna keep driving.
Guess we gotta starve for a little bit.
Yeah, but yeah.
No, and then we went to McDonald's, and then McDonald's is also really a big difference because the McDonald's in Slovakia actually look nice. Oh, this was I thought when I come here, you know, here this is the motherland of fast food. Like this is where like all the places like McDonald's come from, not from Canada, but from the USA. Yeah. And basically Canada's like a brother country. So
I think we could make a full episode just on the difference of like foods between North America and
the fast foods European horrible here. They are disgusting. They are I feel so bad for the people working in there. Like, I don't feel bad for them because I'm like, oh, you have a shitty job, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you don't deserve respect. No, the opposite. You have so much respect from me that you work in such a depressing place.
Like, just to quickly go over, because I think it would actually make a very interesting episode to go just do like a foodie episode. The difference, at least that you can very see clearly in McDonald's, is that in North America, people don't really care about like food experience, or they do, but to an extent. Like when you go to a McDonald's, you don't care about your experience. You just want to have quick, cheap food. Get the fuck.
You can say fuck.
Get the fuck out.
This is not America.
Yeah. Whereas in Europe, I feel like the experience and like the way you interact with the space is a lot more important. So there is more attention put into the actual design of the restaurants.
Yeah, people don't only care about the food they eat, but they also care about the place they eat the food in.
Yeah,
it's more like fast food places in Europe are more made to, like, you obviously have takeout too, but it's more made to go there and have a fast meal with people, but actually sit down.
Yeah.
And here it's literally people go, take the food and leave right away.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very ugly.
We use Vienna as an example because we spent a lot of time in Vienna.
Vienna McDonald's is like another level.
Yeah.
But even in Slovakia, in Trenčín, the McDonald's here in Montreal look like McDonald's from, I don't know, 2000s and never been renovated since.
Yeah, but
the McDonald's in Trenčín actually looks good. Sorry.
The big difference is that the branding is also very different. Like here, I feel like here the branding of McDonald's is that it's still a burger joint. It's still like your cheap burger that is doing the same all the time. Whereas in Europe, they have items on the menus like that are innovative, like the veggie patties and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, the veggie patties are starting to slowly come in Canada as well. But so far, McDonald's haven't released a veggie patty here, and it's been out in Vienna for like years already.
It's been out in Slovakia for years.
Yeah.
There is no veggie burger.
So I feel like there's just. It's just a difference in the identity of the brand.
Mm.
Like in the United States, McDonald's it's burger joint first and foremost, and then in Europe it's a fast food. But I feel like the quality of fast foods in general in Europe is like
overall better. The quality of food in Europe is better because there is more regulations around food.
Oh yeah, that's another story.
There's so many things that are forbidden to put in food in Europe and are completely fine here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like so much of the food, like you have the same product, but it's going to be stuffed with so much more like chemicals and just bullshit here compared to Europe. Like things actually taste better in Europe. Not everything, but like a lot of products.
Mm.
Not to that's not to say that Montreal doesn't have good food. I really love about Montreal that it is so multicultural.
Yeah.
And you have different foods from different countries.
Yeah.
I love Indian food. But to my knowledge, there is like one Indian restaurant in Trenčín. And I think there should be one in Bratislava too, or at least two maybe. But here there's an Indian place in every corner.
Yeah.
Indian, Lebanese. Oh, fuck my nail. Sorry, that was such a me thing to do. I'm hurting myself. All the time.
Yeah,
I don't have any control over my body.
It just breaks nails all the time.
I just walk and I bump into a door for no reason or into a corner.
Natalia is drunk all the time in the house.
I'm not drunk. I'm just very clumsy.
She's drunk on life.
Drunk on life. Yeah, my life is a mess. That's basically it. Yeah, so there's Indian places, Lebanese, Moroccan a lot, right? Like because of French immigrants from French-speaking countries. There's a lot of also African cuisine. Mm-hmm. I really want to go to, like, there is a Nigerian restaurant here I really want to go to.
I don't think I can handle the spice.
The spice? Oh, come on, it's not going to be as bad as Indian. No?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I need to do research on it.
Michael is not good for spicy food. I love spicy food.
I die when I eat spicy food.
Michael is like, really, he can't eat anything spicy.
Yeah.
What else is here that's like popular? Oh, Asian cuisine, like Japanese, Korean. Oh, my heart.
Ramen.
My heart that loves Japanese food is just happy here.
So many ramen places and sushi places and oh.
But then on the other side, you don't really have traditional Canadian food. Like you have, there is traditional Canadian food, but it's like from native people, indigenous food that is not really.
It's not really a thing.
It's not really like widespread. There is some places, but you know what? When you ask people what traditional Canadian food is, they will say poutine, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Like you don't have traditional like modern Canadian cuisine, or no, I don't even know how to. Like, you don't have Canadian traditional cuisine.
No, not really. Like, more often than not, if you ask someone what's traditional, like a traditional Canadian dish, they're going to tell you poutine. Like, if you're in Quebec, it's the first thing that's going to come to their mind.
Poutine is fries with gravy and cheese.
Cheese curds. And then, like, they might come up with something like shepherd's pie, which is basically like
a meat pie. But that's also not.
It's not quite a meat pie. It's like steak bledin patate in French. That's a very memeable thing. But anyway.
But that's also not really Canadian. It's actually British.
Yeah, exactly. It's British or French.
When I was in London, like people are, oh, London shepherd's pie, like traditional, you know, pie from here. Exactly.
I mean, it makes sense that it's kind of seen as a cultural thing because my British accent is terrible. Yeah, it was terrible. It is kind of a, like, you know, Quebec. At least it's kind of a merge between France and England in some way.
But it's the same with, like, I had people that went to visit the United States.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, she like spent there like several months, like living in an exchange family.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that when you ask American people, what is traditional American food? They're just like, what do you mean traditional food? It's just food.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, because I feel like North America was more developed when globalization was like kind of like on the verge of being a thing. Mm-hmm. So like there was access to a bunch of different producers that was not very limiting, because I feel like a lot of traditional food are born out of geographical restriction on what you can produce as a country or as a specific area.
Yeah, so Slovak traditional food has a lot of potato, a lot of like root vegetables, kraut,
kosla.
Kosla.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like doughy things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like a lot of mushrooms. So a lot of traditional food are born out of like what you have available in that country in at a time where like you can't get anything else for cheap or like easily.
Not true. I never thought about it.
But like in North America, you kind of always, not always, but like you for after, most of its history.
After colonization.
Yeah. For most of its history, you had access to things fairly easily and for fairly cheap, like spices and
then people would know. It's also like the continent here, like the countries of Canada and United States, like obviously Mexican cuisine has like a rich history. Mm. You know, like Mexico is also in North America.
Yeah.
But Mexico like it's like a mix of like native people with then people from Spain that came to colonize. I think it's more of a mix, you know?
It's a very good question. I'm not very versed in
I need to look more into Mexican history for sure.
Yeah.
But like here, I feel like because maybe Mexico had colonizers more from like one place, and the United States and Canada, it's more, there were different waves of immigration. Obviously, the initial colonizers are from mainly France and Britain.
Yeah.
But after that, you had like waves of immigration from different countries that shaped the food.
Yeah.
So, for example, again, for my friend, so when she would ask, oh, so what's like considered food or like quote-unquote traditional American food, they would say like, oh, pizza or pasta bolognese, burgers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, okay, so burgers are traditionally from, like originally from Germany.
Yeah.
pizza, pasta from Italy.
Yep.
You know, like nothing is actually like...
Yeah, there's nothing.
Not really like theirs. There are some things that were changed and Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some regional things, like in San Francisco, you have like the whole like fish trade and the fish soup that they have, seafood soup. Like that is a very like local thing there. Mm-hmm. But it's not like in all of America you have like, but then again, it's a bigger country, so
yeah, exactly.
It's hard to say.
Geographically speaking, it's like here, if you go to Prince Edward Island, sweet potatoes are a giant thing because Prince Edward Island is a giant producer of sweet potato. If you go in Gaspésie, they fish a lot, so they a lot of the restaurants are gonna have foods like that are gonna be based around like fish or crab or like shrimps and stuff.
Maybe
like that.
We just need to travel more across Canada, and then we're gonna discover Canadian cuisine.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are centered, like we are on a commercial hub, so we have access to like things fairly easily here. So it's like there's no local anything produced like close to here. Especially not vegan things.
Yeah, there is like dairy production, but
yeah,
that's not vegan.
Yeah, dairy
and we are vegan, mainly, mostly. Let's talk a little bit more about our life here in Canada. And for that, I have a question.
Tell me.
Did ever somebody treat you as less worth or worthless because you are from Slovakia and not from a more developed country in Canadian eyes? I have to divide this question.
I have a feeling we're going to talk about immigration.
No, I'm not going to talk about this too much because I don't want to get angry. I don't want to make this day kaput. I don't want to ruin this day because every time I talk about Canadian immigration, I just talk myself into a rage and I'm just really angry. Because we've been dealing with Immigration Canada for such a long time, and I've been told for so many years, oh, Canada, such an immigration-friendly country, and Yeah, but nothing compared to the European Union. And, you know, like in European Union, you can just cross borders and you're fine. You don't need to, like, you know, you don't need to show passports. You don't need to go through border control and tell your whole life story and see if you get let through. And here it's similar, like, to the States again, that people, especially at the border, will treat you differently based on the country you are from. So for me, people usually don't know about Slovakia. They confuse it with other countries, or they don't know it's in the European Union. They think it's like a third world country. They treat me very, very badly. Many people think Slovakia is in Russia. So now with the whole Russia-Ukrainian war, well, with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there is people who are like, oh, are you Russian? You know, and especially at the borders. And also immigration is specifically for Slovakia. For some reason, Slovakia is one of the very few countries in the world that has not the best immigration policies with Canada, so it's very complicated to get work visas here and overall.
There's more restrictions,
Yeah, it's very complicated, very long, and I just have to deal with a lot of bullshit because I'm from Slovakia. Like, literally, if I would be from Czech Republic, that used to be one country with Slovakia, my life would be so much easier. And people would treat me better if they would know that I'm from Czech Republic, because Canadians love Prague. Canadians just love Prague for some reason. I don't know. Prague is a thing here.
Yeah, Prague is popular. Yeah. It's a recognized brand.
I told you about that one time I went to a coffee place and I got to talk with the barista for a while.
Yeah.
And he was like, he knew about Prague, but he didn't know the Czech Republic as a country. He was like, oh, Prague, I love Prague. Like, there's like this song, this like singer from Prague. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, so you listen to Czech music? And he was like, Czech? And then I just had to explain him like what Czech Republic is. I'm just like, oh my God.
Oopsie.
Learn geography, please. Yeah.
Oopsie.
But yeah, usually people are not mean. Most people I meet in my bubble are not mean.
Yeah.
It's just they are confused. They don't know. I have to always explain.
Yeah.
So it's the opposite. Like, when I meet somebody who knows, I'm like, oh my God, you know where Slovakia is. I love you.
Hey, so fun fact. Today I was talking with a guy that works where I was working. And we were talking about Slovakia, and he said something about the Slovak flag. And I was surprised that, like, he knew what the Slovak flag looked like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What did he say?
We were talking about the weather, and he was like, oh, like, I expect, like, I didn't think that the Slovakia would be, like, so much, like, warmer, or, like, more temperate, at least, than Canada, just because, like, on their flag, there's, like, winter represented.
Well, different parts of Slovakia. Slovakia has a high, part of Slovakia, the center, has really high mountains, and there's a lot of snow right now, and it's pretty cold. Like, there, it's similar to here. But also, then again, when you go to the capital of Slovakia, for example, it's less warm.
Yeah.
Oh, not less warm, it's warmer. I have two more things I want to talk about in this podcast. One more question from my beautiful people on Instagram. Okay, so which question do I choose? Is there something that is significantly or like fairly better in Slovakia than in Canada? We should both reply actually to this.
Fairly better.
Just better. Is there something in Slovakia that is better than in Canada?
I'm going to say white wine.
White wine. Michael loves wine.
Very specifically white wine. I'm not a biggest fan of white wine in general, but the one in Slovakia, I was really impressed. And I actually used this Christmas as an opportunity to try a bunch of different white wines. And honestly, I'm very pleasantly surprised by the quality of the white wines in Slovakia.
You really like the ones from Tokaj, right? We need to go to Hungary.
Like, yeah,
the Tokaj region is also part of Hungary. It's not just Slovakia.
I feel like Slovakia. Well, there is a history of wine production in Slovakia. And I feel like it reflects very nicely in the quality of the white wines, even if the productions are usually pretty small. And here, from experience, like Canadian wines are very hit or miss in general. Like they're not very like consistent in the quality.
Yeah, in Slovakia, you can get like a really cheap wine and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And here you pay like $20 for a bottle and it can be really not that great.
Let's just say that Canada is a very, as a wine region, is a very young region. So things are still being figured out. But the white wines, honestly, from what I've experienced, the white wines in Slovakia were better than what we can get as the white wine here in Canada.
I feel like if somebody saw us in Slovakia during our trip, it was always us sitting in a restaurant and Michael with a wine glass.
Always.
People that saw us more than once must have thought that you are like have an alcohol issue because you always were drinking a glass of wine.
Always a glass of wine. It's so cheap. And I had to try it.
Yeah.
I
have to experience it. It was also for trying. Like Michael did not drink alcohol all the time. He just really wanted to also try the wines.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad so many people talking about the people in Slovakia. I had really a lot of nice experiencing meeting you guys. A lot of really nice people came forward to me. I bought a new coat that is very recognizable with a cheetah print from a secondhand in Milano. And I think you could see me easily, like if you follow me.
Yeah.
And you see me in that coat, I was very easy to spot. So I feel like that's also a reason why more people came to talk to me this trip.
Because of the cheetah coat.
I go up the coat is like, oh yeah, that is her probably.
It's very unique.
So I had a lot of nice interactions with that. That was cute. For me, what I like more about Slovakia than Canada. The castles are really cool.
That is true.
I love that we have castles, but I would say just overall architecture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting better with appreciating the architecture here. I used to hate it.
She's very vocal about it too.
Play the clip from yesterday.
I was not prepared for coming to Montreal and just the whole city being without color. It's dirty, it's brown and gray, a lot of brick, and just not pretty brick, but ugly combinations.
And we have colorful murals.
That's the one beautiful thing here.
But I'm getting to appreciate it more. And it is not for everybody, though, I have to say. Like, I am a very visual person. I love decorations, I love color, I love little, like, you know, embellishments and stuff. And I love how rich and old the houses are in Slovakia. I've never really appreciated Slovak architecture as much before until I started traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And now I really see that, like, oh yeah, no, it is really cool that this house has been here for like thousands and thousands of years. And oh yeah, it is really cool that obviously castles were always cool, but even like the small like houses that I would not notice, you know, in like small towns. Now I walk around and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Like, look at the rooftop. Like, there's this really cool sculpture, you know, that I never noticed before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting to love Slovakia more since I'm not living there anymore. But I think that happens to many people, that you get out of your home country, you get to see the world more, or that should happen to more people. More people should be able to travel.
Yeah.
Also financially, time-wise, everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you get out of your bubble, I think a lot of people have the experience of, like, if they go to live in a different country and then they come back home, they appreciate their home more.
It's the perspective.
Yeah. Thank you for you to listening to us ramble around.
Or watching.
Michael has been giving you pretty eyes the whole time during the video recording.
I'm giving you all the attention, YouTube. Or wherever this is.
See, but I take care of the people who listen and make sure that they get good audio. And you are there to be a pretty boy for the camera, you know? You're there to, like, give your charm out to people.
I will apologize to everyone for the weird audio from my voice all the time.
There's more to it than just looks. I didn't say this properly.
I'm so objectified in this relationship. Someone save me. I'm just kidding.
Well, Well, see you next time with another episode of A Couple to Go. I would love to finally do an episode I've been wanting to do from the beginning about the industry. I might have to censor this. I might have to say this maybe differently. About the adult content industry. And yeah, there is a lot to talk about.
Definitely. That's definitely a very deep subject. Mm-hmm. No puns intended.
That's going to be... Oh, God. I just got the joke. Yeah, next time we talked about adult content, adult video.
I don't want to make any promises because usually when we say we're going to do something, we end up doing something completely different. So maybe next episode.
No, next time we do this. Come on. Next time we do this. Shake my hand on it. Next time we talk about...
Bye. Love you. Bisou. I feel like it's important to mention that I'm not wearing glasses to be douchey, but because I have extremely sensitive eyes and the sun is shining right in my face. I also want to prove that women's glasses fit nice on men's face too.
Oh, great. We're gonna hear like people shoveling snow the whole podcast now.
Great timing.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be just the right mood.
We're in Canada, baby. We deal with snow.
Okay, so much for the outtakes.